Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Nedarim Daf Ayin. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins 8 lines from the end of Daf Ayin. We see a Mishnah. The Mishnah reads, Meis ho'av loy nisroikna rishus labal. Upon the death of the father of a naro hamurasa, the powers of annulment that he had are not transferred to the husband. The husband, in this case the orus, does not annul without his partner in annulment, i.e. the father. And here the father is dead. Meis habal nisroikna rishus la'av. If the husband dies, so the husband's powers of annulment are transferred to the father. In this respect, the father has greater strength than the husband. In another respect, the husband has greater power than the father. Shehabal, the orus, mefer bebeger, ve'av eno mefer bebeger. Beger is bagrus, meaning above age 12 and a half. Rashi gives a significant amount of background in order to appreciate this, but before we go on with the Rashi, let us emphasize that which we saw at the beginning of the Mishnah about the powers of one, yes or not, being transferred to the other was essentially the subject of a Tanaic source that we saw back on Daf Samach Ches. In other words, in our previous Shiurim, we dealt with this idea of Nisroikna Rishus. Now, as far as the idea of Baal being Mefer Bebeger, Beger being an expression of Bagrus, we look at the Rashi. Shabal Mefer Bebeger, the Rashi we're looking at is 6 lines from the bottom. Kedamrina Maseches Ksubas, Higiyaz Manvo Lo Nisu, a couple that gets married, and we've said many, many times in the past that marriage in traditional Jewish law occurs in 2 stages. I say traditional Jewish law, it is something that is not really manifest today in practical applied halacha, but there was an initial stage of Erusin, and that was followed by a period of time, depending on what kind of girl you were dealing with, 12 months for a Basula and 30 days for an Almona before the consummation of the marriage would take place. So the Rashi is alluding to that phenomenon, higia zman v'lo nisu, when the deadline arrived for consummating the marriage arrives, and they don't consummate the marriage at that point. Oichlis mishalov, oichlis betruma, the brides, the girls, are entitled to be supported by their husbands. And if the husband is a Kohen and she is coming from a non-Kohen family, she now becomes entitled to eat truma. V'chol ha-noderes, and women who vow, al-das bailo noderes, shemachila. They vow, assuming that their husbands will approve of their vow, the husbands that feed them. Hoyol v'havichayav mizayneseha, since we reach a point in time that he is obligated to support her, kineideres, when she vows, yochol lahofer law. He, the husband, who is now with a wife that's above 12 and a half, he can mefer her nedarim. In other words, in exchange for his obligation to support her, he has the right to annul her vows. Av eino mefer bebeger, in contrast to the father's ability to annul his daughter's vows expires at the point she becomes a bogeres. Kedektiv, the pasuk says, binu ureha, as a nara. Nara is a girl from age 12 to 12 and a half. Velo bebagrusa, but not above 12 and a half. So you see an orus functioning in the realm of haforas nedarim in a scenario where the father does not function. We turn to the Gemara, and on the side of our marked Gemaras, you see that we have a Nosei topic heading, and we indicate here Mekoros Ladinei HaMishnah. We're going to be dealing with sources for the laws of the Mishnah. Aleph, Delo Nisrokna Labal, and Beis Nisrokna La'av. This idea that father powers upon the father's death are not transferred to the husband. In the case of talking, of course, Nara Hamurasa, where ideally the husband and father work as shutfim, as partners in annulling vows, but where one dies, where the father dies, his annulment powers don't get transferred to the husband. And in contrast, when the husband dies, the husband annulment powers do get transferred to the father. Focusing simply on that, on those concepts, the Gemara asks, "My taima, why is it that with the death of the father, his annulment capabilities are not transferred to the husband?" The Yomar Kral, the pasuk says, "Binurel beis aviha," and that means that as long as she is a nara, that she hasn't become a bogeres, she doesn't leave the domain of her father, even if she happens to be an arusa. Therefore, when the father dies, those powers of annulment don't get transferred to the husband. We continue in the Gemara. Meis habal nisroik nirushus la'av. With the death of the orus, his annulment powers do get transferred to the father. Menolan, from where do we know that nisroik no la'av? Omar rabo v'yamakro v'im hoyoy tiyeh le'ish. Unidorel Oleha. The Hoyotiyeh is a double expression, and we now darshan that double expression. Makish, we continue at the top of Omid Beis. Makish Koidme Havaya Shnia Le Koidme Havaya Rishona. These are expressions that need explanation. We need to convert them into practical terms. If we translate, Kodme means before Havaya Shnia, before her second marriage. What is that? What are we describing? We're describing a woman and her state of being before her second marriage. So what is that? What happened? Well, the Orus died. The first husband died. And she was fit to be married by a second man. So that's her current, that's her situation of as described as Kaidme Havaya Shnia. So the woman in that state is compared to Kaidme Havaya Rishona. What does that mean? Before her first, Havaya means marriage. What was she before her first marriage? Well, she was in her father's domain. Ma koidme havaya rishona, just like before her marriage to the first orus, to the first husband, av mefer l'chudei, the father has the power to annul on his own. There is no partner, obviously. It's just the father. He has a girl in his house, his daughter, that's 12 and 2 months old. So she is a nara, who may have made a vow. The Torah bestows upon the father the right to annul her vows. So just like before her first marriage, the father annuls by himself, av koidme havaya shnia, av mefer l'chudei. So too, before the second marriage, the father has the power to fully annul on his own, which in our terms, it means that with the death of the husband, nisroikna rishus la'av, and that's what we were looking for, that the powers of annulment that the first husband had are transferred to the father. Question. V'eima, let us suggest, can we suggest that hani nili, this idea of nisroikna Rishus Lav, and Rashi goes a little further on the third line from the top. That this idea of comparing Kaid Mehavaya Shnia to Kaid Mehavaya Rishona extends only to those vows that were not heard or not in the jurisdiction of the Oros. You see, before her first marriage, there was no Oros whatsoever. She was simply a girl living in her father's house. So those vows were not Niru L'Oros. They didn't appear to the Oros at all. There was no Oros yet. But vows that had appeared to the Oros, vows that the Oros had heard before he died, those kind of vows, upon his death, maybe they don't get transferred to the father to annul. So we just introduced the question. Now we go into the Gemara text. V'eima, hani mili, when is it that we can make this comparison of Kaid Mehavaya Shnia to the Kaid Mehavaya Rishona? That's Benidorim Shelo Niru La'orus. That is with regard to vows that the husband did not hear before his death. Avo Benidorim Sheniru La'orus. But vows that the husband had heard. He heard his wife vow before his death. Those kind of vows upon the husband's death, lo motzi mefer av, the father would not be able to annul them. Because that scenario is not parallel to the Kaid Mehavaya Rishona, to what she was before her first marriage. There was no husband at that point. The Gemara says, if you think that the sources of this hoyo, the pasuk im hoyo tiyeh, is referring only to those kind of vows, e benedorim shelo niru la'orus, that those are the kind of vows that a father can annul. Well, mi b'ner be'savio nafka, that has another pasuk. There's another pasuk that covers that type of vow, the vow of lo niru la'orus. So what am I going to do with the xeris akos of im hoyo tiyeh? I'm therefore going to include vows that were Niru La'orus as well. We continue in the Gemara. Boze yofe koyach ho'av mikoyach ha'bal. And then the Mishnah went on to say that in the case of a boigeres, there the Baal is yofe koyach me'ho'av. And the Mishnah says, Shabal Mefer Bebeger. The markings that we'll see in this Gemara are dealt with on the side under the Nosei Mivneh heading. The triangle represents Shlavim. These are stages, Levira, Be'ezin, Nesibos, Katoni. Under what circumstances does the Mishnah teach, Yofakir Chabal Mikir Chav, Shabal Mefer Bebeger? What are the circumstances in that situation? So now the Gemara text. Hechi domi, this idea of the Baal, the husband or the Orus, being made for a beggar, what's the case? E lemo shikidshok shinaro bogra. If we're talking about a case of a husband entering first stage of marriage with her while she was still a mere na'ara, she was under 12 and a half, and after the erusin, after she became a bogeris, with the lapse of time, so she went from 12 and 2 months, and now she's 12 and 7 months. So in that span of time, she became a bogeris. And we want to say that that's the case, that even in that case, the Orus would be able to be mefer the Nedarim, Michti. Here the Gemara rejects this. Misa motzia mirshus av, ubagrus motzia mirshus av. The death of her father, that's Misa, takes her out of the father's domain. Well, he's dead, right? So the death takes her out of her father's domain. And bagrus also, when she becomes a bogeres, When she passes 12 and a half years of age, she leaves her father's domain. Ma misa loy nisrokna rishus labal. Just like with her father dying, powers don't get transferred to the husband. Av bagrus lo nisroku rishus labal. Let us glance at the Ran. He has a brief commentary, but it's helpful. The Ran toward the lower part of the narrow lines. Af bagrus loynis roikna rishus labal, kevon dechal oleo rishus ha'av, mekami bagrus, since the father's control over her started before the bagrus, deha kishikitsha nara havis, since at the time of the kiddushin, at the time of the marriage, she was still a nara. So in a case like that, the transfer doesn't take place. So we have to rule that scenario out. We go back to the Gemara, Ella. What is the Mishnah referring to when it says that in the case of Bagrus, the Baal is made for where the father is not? Ella Shekitsha Kishihi Boigeres. He married her. The husband entered the picture only after she was already a bogeris. So, in a case like that, had she vowed before marriage, but as a bogeris, the father would not be able to annul her vows, as the Pasuk said, only as a nara does the father have control. However, in a case of her vowing as a bogeris and her marriage as a bogeris, the orus will be able to annul her vows after he marries her, after he enters erusin with her as a bogeris. The Gemara asks, ha tanino chadazimna. Note, by the way, we have a long question marking. We're going to have a double bracketed section. The basic question is, what do I need this Mishnah for when this information has been taught already? That's Hotanino Chanozimna. And what we do initially is, if we skip the entire bracketed section, you come to the point in which the Gemara says, Iboy Asema, the Gemara is now answering. Okay, you told me that I have this point about a husband being able to mefer the nedarim of his arusa, the bogeres. I have it twice, so I have answers for that. That's why the repetition. So that's what you see after the bracket, the section number one. Iboy say mahocha dafka uberes kotani hasam yishum deboy yiflu rabbi rabbanon. And Iboy say another approach, which we'll get to very soon. In the meantime, we have the contents of the brackets. But structurally, you can see the question of ha tanino chadazimna is presented as a long question. Essentially, it's a very short question, and that is ha tanino chadazimna. Just that you need to go through all of the rest of the Gemara before you get to the answer. That's why we have a long question marking. Now, we have an internal brackets, the angular brackets. After the Gemara asks, ha tanino chadazimna, we have to find out what is that other place in which this is taught. So if you skip the angular brackets for a moment, we read a Tanaic source. It's actually a redone Tanaic source, and that because within the angular brackets we point out some language problems, but the redone source says, Boigeres v'sheshohaso yudbeis chodesh. In both of these cases, Aleph is Bogeres, and we dashed underline because that's what's irrelevant to us. And there's another situation called Sheshoaso Yudbeis Chodesh, a woman who waited 12 months, and What that very abbreviated source talks about is that the husband can mayfair the nedarim. And we're talking about the orus, the baal, the husband, is mayfair the nedarim. Of whom? Of a bogeris. And with that in mind then, mikol mokon kashya, we're still left with the question of tre zimni lomali. What do I need to be taught this point twice? Namely, our Mishnah, and the Mishnah referred to from Maseches Ksubas, also found quoted later on at Dafayin Gimel. The Gemara, back to the beginning of the bracketed section, the Gemara asks, well, didn't we learn that a husband, an Orus, can mayfir the Nedorim of his wife, the Bogeres? Hotanino Chadazimna. And now we're, as I said, we're reading the angular brackets. Habogeres Sheshohaso Yudbeis Chodesh. A Bogeres, who was an Arusa, who waited 12 months. Since the husband is chayev, is obligated to support her, so he can also be made for the nedarim. This point we had alluded to earlier, that where you have a situation of a husband being obligated to support his wife, and this throws us back to the beginning of Maseches Ksubis, which discusses the issue of the gap in time between Erusin and Nisuin, the initial stage of marriage and the consummation of marriage, where we allow for a certain amount of time in which the husband and the wife get all their needs together before they consummate the marriage. So the Mishnah speaks about a Bogeris that delayed, that waited 12 months. Something is inaccurate about that, though. Ha gufa kashya. There's an inherent problem here. Amris habogeres sheshoaso shnei moser chodesh. Bogeres lomali shnei moser chodesh. A bogeres, why does she need to wait 12 months? Or why is she given 12 months? Bogeres b'shloshim yoyim saki la. For a Bogeris, 30 days are enough. The Ran is very sensitive to the structure of the Gemara, which we emphasize with our markings, but if you look at the Ran commentary on the second of the lines under the Gemara text, Hotanino Chadazimna, Bahai Pirka, in this very perek of Nedarim, Vitarti Lomali. Why do I need two Mishnayos in the same perek to say the same thing? Umekami da'asik le lekushya, and here is the structural point that the Ran emphasizes. It means before we get to the end of the question, Diek Bach Masnisen Basraisa, the Gemara deals with the details of this, of the next Mishnah that we've quoted over here. Why is there any need for 12 months if you're dealing with a Bogeris? B'shloshim Saki law. 30 days are enough. Rav Huna hachisvile perek afalpi. Rav Huna holds thusly in Maseches Ksubis. Shelo pasku chom lebogeris l'shloshim yom. The Chachamim allowed for a 30-day period of time when it comes to a Bogeris. If a man did Kiddushin with a, Kiddushin is the first stage of marriage with a Bogeris, we expect him to consummate the marriage within 30 days. If he doesn't consummate the marriage after 30 days, he has to support her. True, Rav Huna is negated over there. The conclusion, though, of the Gemara there is that any girl concerning whom 12 months has passed since she became a Bogeris, if she enters marriage after that, she has only 30 days. We don't find 12 months unless you're dealing with a girl who became an Arusa at the first day, at the 12 and a half year mark of her life. How then can this Taneg source be left as it is, which says unequivocally that a Bogeres that waits 12 months before consummation of the marriage, the Bogeres ain lazman kotsuv shiyevshu livchos mimenu, it's not so that a Bogeres has no set time that you can't have less than that. We don't find that every case of a Bogeres that enters marriage has 12 months to wait before the consummation of the marriage, with the exception of the case of if she becomes married erusin at the first day of her bagrus. Umishum hai Anfo dechikola hava le lemisni bebogeres yudbeis chodesh umefarkinon tani, and therefore the Gemara comes and answers bogeres vishishoasa yudbeis chodesh klomar bogeres kedina shizmano bechoser v'yesir kedekasivna. The bogeres has, there's a certain flexibility in the amount of time. The hanaro shishosu zmana kotzav lo, and the naro that waits the fixed amount of time. Dainu shneimos chodesh hayulu baylo chaimus asel yofer. When it comes to a naro, that is true. When a naro enters marriage, she has 12 months. We pointed out in passing that even a girl on the first day of her bagrus will also have 12 months to get it all together. But to say that every bogeres has 12 months, that's simply inaccurate. Therefore, we go back to our Gemara text and we redo the understanding of the original Mishnah to read Tani, rather read it as follows. Bogeres vishishoaso shneimos chodesh. A girl who enters erusin as a bogeres, that would be certainly beyond, let's say, 13 and a half years of age. Any beyond that, there's only 30 days between the erusin and the assumed nisuin. And if they don't consummate the marriage after 30 days, he has the right, the husband still, he has to feed her, he has to support her, and he has the right to annul her vows. There's also the other case of Shasu Yud Beis Chodesh, as we saw in the Ran, a Na'ara that enters marriage, and the 12 months of preparation time lapsed, and if they still haven't consummated the marriage, the husband is obligated to support her, and also has the right now to annul her vows. Mikol mokom kashia. Nevertheless, the original question stands, namely, why do I have two Mishnayos? There's one over here from Daf Ayin, and later on Daf Ayin Gimel, that grant the Orus the rights of being Mefer the Nidorim of his Bogeres Arusa. The Gemara answers, if you're asking, why do I need two Mishnayos that tell me essentially the same thing? One approach is that this Mishnah is the authentic, the real source. That Ubogeres Kotoni Hosam, the issue of Bogeres is related there on Dafayin Gimel, Mishum Deboy Iflugi Rebelozer Rabbona, because there the Mishnah wants to present a machloikas between Rebelozer and the Rabbonan. So in presenting the machloikas between Rebelozer and the Rabbonan, so this point is mentioned again. The Iboy Seima, another approach is that Bogeres Dafka, that means the Mishnah later on is the source. V'aydi denosiv reisha, and since in our Mishnah, the beginning of the Mishnah taught bozeh, where it featured the koyach of the av, the strength that the father has over the husband, nosiv seifonami bozeh, the seifa to counterbalance father's strength, it features the husband's strength. Namely, that he can be mefer the nedarim of a bogeres, but not that our Mishnah is the source for that information. Rather, that's the Mishnah later on. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings baal@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.